It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I'm really not, but I'm maybe more in awe that I think we might have another week of football news upon us.
Mm-hmm.
How do they do it? How do they do it?
They make up things that make us want to talk about them. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Bulldog's watching the news while we speak.
You prompted me. I thought I could pull it off and I would get complimented for getting the soccer game on as the Open was playing, but then the volume came on.
The volume comes on.
When I turned the TV on, so I apologize to our audience. I don't know if they could even hear that, but anyway.
Should have been okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've got whatever the flag football in the Olympics thing really is. I think it's kind of fun to think about. You've got the tush-push rule. We're getting two rounds of that. The one at the owners' meetings, the one that Sal went to, and they talk about it, and it gets tabled or it gets approved or voted down, whatever happens. This one just gets, like, tabled, pushed off until tomorrow, today and tomorrow. And then also with that is this reseeding of the playoffs. We didn't spend a lot of time on either of those last two last week, because there must have been something way more important that we were talking about. Like whether the Bills should have drafted a wide receiver earlier than in the seventh round. Probably it was that or something close to that. But I do think they're both good. And I ended up, the last time around on the tush push, I ended up feeling like I wanted to be against it. Voting for the ban.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't... I never really could say it, and I can't right now. It just doesn't really seem like fair.
Yeah.
Not fair to the teams playing the Eagles or even the Bills, but teams, you know, on defense. It seems like it's just a little too easy. And I know not every team is that successful at it, but in principle, it seems like it's a little bit like cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up being against it. But what I can't figure out is exactly what the agenda is. What the point is of the forces against it?
Well, that's where I come in. I have a pretty good idea on that. I don't have any information from anyone. I haven't talked to the Green Bay Packers.
We'll turn the news back up. Turn the volume up.
About why they came up with the proposal in the first place. But I think what they have failed to do so far, or the league, or anyone who's trying to get this thing taken out of the sport, has failed to do is produce a reason that covers up the real reason, which is it just looks bad. It just doesn't look like football. And I say that knowing, like, Ross Tucker will be in my ear saying, what's more football than, you know, six guys on one side or eight guys on one side and eight guys on another all plowing into each other trying to, you know, define who's going to get the land. And to an extent, I get it. I think maybe a lot of football people, like especially a lineman, a former lineman like Ross, might push against it because it sort of slights linemen and their value or something. And, you know, we all want receivers and passing yards and finesse. And this is blunt force trauma, that play. But the specter of guys piling in from behind to push someone across the line of scrimmage, it was never allowed in the sport prior to like 2006. They made a rule change, and now you've got this pushing and pulling and all this stuff that goes on kind of all over the field. Forward progress doesn't seem to exist anymore as a concept that's going to blow a play dead. They just keep letting it go. And I don't like it. I can't speak with any authority on whether there is a real injury. I can understand there being a concern about an injury.
Well,
if someone on the bottom of the pile is caught in an awkward twist or something and there's 1,200 pounds landing on top of them, like, that could be really catastrophic. I get it. It hasn't happened yet, and that makes that part of the you know, complaint about the play ring a little hollow for now. They're trying to be preemptive, I guess, and I can appreciate that. I don't want to see someone get hurt like that, but for now, you're left going, well, no one's really been hurt, so what are we talking about? And then the other thing the Packers included in this new, I don't know, I guess it was revamped the way I read it, was pace of play. And I don't know what to do with that. Like, what? Pace of play? You're staving off punting. You're keeping a drive going.
It's the unpiling of the players.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then maybe it's a review. Think of Allen in the Chiefs game.
Okay, yeah.
Where
all right.
We don't really know if he made it.
All right.
And then we're not sure. We have a conversation, then we'll have Sky Ref, and then we'll have a commercial break.
Thank you for helping to legitimize that complaint. I get that now. I guess I didn't think deeply enough about it.
But that doesn't really hold up, I think. I mean, pace of play. I guess I feel like it's more jealousy. You know, you want the overtime rules changed when you lost a game in overtime where you didn't get the ball. Like, it happened to you. Isn't that just like life? We all have our political beliefs and, you know, sort of thoughts on how society should work. And then something happens to you and you throw it out the window because it happened to you. It happened to your house, to your family, and all bets are off at that point. You lose a game in overtime because you didn't get the ball. Let's change the rules. Anything like that. And I guess I think the Eagles have been too successful. And then they won it. And they beat Green Bay on the way, and like, that's enough. Now, it happened to me. Now I'm going to
complain.
And that part of it, you know, it's going to be more than that. But to me, like, that's where you have a problem. Because it really shouldn't be about, well, we just had, you know, this result that was considered unfair. Not that exactly happened with the Eagles. That's really been more like 2 or 3 years in the making of all of their quarterback sneak first downs. So now we're at a point where it's like acceptable. It became acceptable to want it banned. All right, enough, Eagles. Jason Kelce's retirement didn't matter. You're still automatic. Mm-hmm. Now you won a championship, and we're the rest of the league, and you have the best roster in the league and the ring. So now it's acceptable to complain. I think that is kind of it. The injury point does not work. I read a blog today about how there's more evidence of injuries on the Lambeau leap than on the tush push. Players are more subject to injury risk jumping into the crowd at Lambeau Field. Right? Can we pace a play? That slows the game down, right? The Lambeau leap, doesn't it? Injury risk, pace a play, let's ban that. I just don't think you really need to do it. So I don't like the play, but I really just don't feel great about
it. Doesn't
the
feel
process
like
here.
There's a legitimate reason other than, again, aesthetically, you just don't feel like it's right. It's one of those things that you maybe can't. I mean, these people are smart enough. They got a million lawyers. Like, somebody should be able to come up with. I'm surprised, while you were talking about the injury thing there for a moment, a wire trip for me, I'm surprised that no one in the league who wants it banned has brought up, I don't know, modified football, like kids, like teenagers playing football, and it being a play at that level because it works in the NFL, and kids getting piled on top of each other, and that being an injury risk more so than pro athletes who are being paid millions of dollars and have insurance and whatever. And I could also listen to that. I don't know if it's actually true, but I'm surprised they haven't played that card yet try to get some, you know, more. Although, I don't know. Like, I don't know if they need help getting it through. It sounds like all the big reporters seem to be writing, to my eyes, like they're expecting it to get banned.
There's a line. BetOnline has it minus 400 that it'll be banned. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Odds, like, to think that it will be.
So I don't know that they're struggling to get their agenda fulfilled here, really. But I still don't think they've given a good enough reason and no one, they're not saying this because it would sound ridiculous. It doesn't look good. But that's my biggest problem with it, is it just doesn't seem fair that you should be able to just push the pile like that.
Well, those are two different things, I think. How it looks and then what that is. Because I think I agree with one but not the other. I mean, the tush push play doesn't look that much different than a regular quarterback sneak. It really doesn't. Like, it's just a pileup. And to that point, since when do football coaches take offense to that kind of thing? Like, football coaches actually want it to be prettier? That's not how they talk. Right. That's definitely not the stereotype. The stereotype is, you know, even Sean McDermott has people guessing almost a decade into a wildly successful run as the Bills coach. Well, they threw the ball all the time and they had this success, so, you know, he must be on board. I don't know. Every time I hear anything that makes you wonder, I feel like I just sort of default to, yeah, I think his perfect world would just be run and stop the run. Today on ADP Chasing, they brought up Matt LaFleur. The guys are trying to rank the different Green Bay wide receivers. And one of the guys said, I forget who, like, don't you think if Matt LaFleur had his way, they'd run the ball on every play? They play, like, super low-event games, Green Bay, and, like, who knows? But it doesn't sound to me like the football coach mantra that the tush-push is, like, bad for our sport because it's either ugly or too slow. And the idea that it's dangerous, it just, that kind of confounds me. Like, that's the Bills' position on this has kind of always been strange to me. McDermott came in with injuries, then he sort of soft-pedaled backwards on that the next day at the combine, that was when they were having those meetings. And, you know, his team is benefiting from it. And on a certain level, I respect opposing it.
Yeah,
even though your team seems to win from it.
They're pretty good at it, yeah. Yeah, so I think I'm curious to see what it ends up looking like and what exactly the result of a ban is. Like, what will be allowed and what will not be allowed? I mean, I know what they're trying to accomplish is avoiding these pileups and guys plowing into the line of scrimmage. I disagree with you. I do not think it looks like a regular quarterback sneak when you've got 300-pound dudes behind in the backfield that are there solely to push the quarterback forward. Like, quarterback sneak was like an individual effort. You got a crease or you don't, and you're stuck, and that's it. It's over. This just goes on after it looks like it could be stopped or should be stopped to me. So aesthetically, it does bother me. It's fine that we disagree on that part, but I don't know how they're going to what exactly it will look like when it comes to pass, because sort of an offshoot of this being in vogue the last few years is, again, even plays down the field where guys, tight end catches the ball and everybody comes running and we're going to keep going. And that looks foreign to me every time it happens, but it has been allowed. And I imagine that's going to stop if the language is maybe right. I'd like it to stop because I think that's as dopey as the whole concept of doing it the line of scrimmage is. So I'm just curious how they're going to actually, if it passes, which it feels again like it will, what it will end up looking like.
Well, that's maybe the worst part. I mean, so like, say you don't like the play. I really don't like the play either. Doesn't seem fair. Just sort of like a huge pile and you can't really see where the ball is. Well, I guess that's, I'm going to say it both ways now. This ban may bring up more reviews and more just like, not reviews of the spot, but was there a penalty? And whether that, if it's wrong to call that a review because I'm going to be told that, oh no, the league doesn't review penalties, sure, then it's just going to be a conversation on the field and somebody's in their ear and they're actually reviewing the penalty. So it's just, there's your pace of play, is if I've got to have officials meetings, you know, twice a game because we're not sure if somebody actually interlocked, if was there interlocking interference by grasping a teammate or by using his hands or arms to encircle the body of a teammate in an effort to block an opponent? Rule 12, Section 1, Article 4B. That's what we really want, is it, in the end?
Yeah, I want Gene Steratore talking about that.
Exactly.
On my TV.
That's the worst possible outcome, is more rules.
Yeah.
So maybe we are headed there. It is interesting. I mean, it's secondary, but you think about, like, if they don't allow this play and Josh Allen, you know, running, we talk about that every year. How much more of that do we want? How much more do the Bills need? Nobody's talking about the rule just for Bills games that quarterback sneaks must only be to the left. I don't see that being talked about at all.
Yeah.
That every Bills quarterback sneak has to go to the left. I don't know why that doesn't seem fair to the Bills to have that only be a penalty if they go to the right.
You'd like to be able to change it up once in a while.
You'd think that they would be allowed to do that. But, you know, sort of like the, as Alan gets older, there's always this conversation anyway. All right, so say you don't have the tush push anymore. Does that mean you don't want him sneaking as much? Does that mean, like, the odds should go down, just sort of logically. Your chances of success should be lower. They're still great. Maybe they're not as great as they should be for the Bills with him over the years, fourth and one, fourth and two. Because they've been stopped a few famous times.
Yeah. What I might end up liking about it, and I'm just going to say it that way because, you know, I'm not sure that I'll like it. Because it could be that the Bills and the Eagles, mostly, those are the two most notable teams. The Bills trail the Eagles by some degree there, but I think those two teams are separate from the rest of the league, mostly, in their effectiveness using that style of play. Maybe it gets the Bills to get out of a mindset where third and short, fourth and you're playing in a way where you know you've got this borderline automatic play, so you're not as worried about picking up 12 yards. You're just, you know, as long as we get to third and one or fourth and one, we're fine. And you know that's that final series against the Chiefs. Maybe in a nutshell, you know, passes behind the line of scrimmage to Amari Cooper. And like, what are we doing here? Like, let's get the ball down the field. And maybe not having that to sort of fall back on conveniently will push the Bills and the Eagles both to handle the entire series differently, knowing that they don't have the advantage that they had had for the previous couple of years.
I'm looking at a picture of an Eagles snap. Line of scrimmage. They're playing Tampa Bay in this picture. And they have their five offensive linemen. They've got a tight end on each side. Just to the right of the tight end, set back, like whatever it is, a yard behind the line of scrimmage is the flanker, but that's Devontae Smith. And he's right on the line of scrimmage. Hurts is under center. This is a couple of years ago, I guess, because there's DeAndre Swift right behind Hurts, sort of offset over Hurts' right shoulder. I think that's Goddard. So they're using a different tight end on the left, and three tight ends are on the field. There's Goddard over Hurts' left shoulder, like, you know, hands on his knees awaiting the snap. And there's A.J. Brown just right of Swift. So we've got 11 guys who are all in the in the box. The penalty is for assisting Hurts. And I think it might only it's not just the quarterback, it's whoever takes the snap, the ball carrier. The penalty is if you push Hurts or, you know, anything, wrap your arms around him and sort of drag him, anything that assists him, is it really going to be that different if on this play, for example, anybody can line up like this, you know, the Bills would use who? Alec Anderson and, like, their big people, both tight ends. If the other players behind Hurts are just pushing basically the lineman forward and coming in on top of the guard defensive tackle meetup, you know, just sort of pushing the line, not pushing Hurts. That's not the same thing. I guess it isn't, but that's going to look the same or close enough to the same. Well, it's not going to be illegal.
If the guys are, again, Goddard and Swift and Brown are behind the quarterback here,
they're basically almost in line with him.
Okay.
Behind the line of scrimmage by, at the most, 2 yards at the deepest.
All right.
They're basically just like right. Goddard and Swift could be whispering to him, and he would hear them.
Yeah. I guess I want to see this photo. Can I lean over? Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're not like in a you know, whatever, a split set in the backfield. They're all real, real tight. But still, in order for Hurts to let them get ahead of him, he's going to have to wait and maybe that diminishes the effectiveness of the play because you're not just at the snap, just going forward. It's going to be a fraction of a second maybe for them to get ahead of you, but that amount of time could matter, I suppose, and maybe that'll be enough of a deterrent. Because yeah, the way that I understand it is you there's nothing to prevent you from doing what you're describing. Those guys go first and push the pile and make it easier for Hurts to get, you know, to just fall forward and get whatever he needs, half a yard, or Josh Allen for that matter. So maybe teams try that out and see if that version works rather than waiting behind the ball carrier and pushing them.
I think I have a new reason for wanting to support this now. the tush push, is officiating and having a play like that happen in such a way where it's basically the same thing. It's basically the same thing, only nobody has actually pushed Hurts, who can leg press 650 pounds and, you know, might be able to get all these first downs without any help. They just do it because they can do it. And then it's, you know, it's the ref show.
Then yeah. I mean, you're going to have the ref show problem almost no matter what. What comes of if there is a rule of some kind, there's going to be a ref show.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I think effectively, if a team, the Eagles, the Bills, whomever, were to do the way we're talking about it right now, that takes away the it's not football part, because the it's not football thing, I think, really, for me anyway, I don't know how other people feel about it, it entirely is about pushing the guy who has the ball. If I'm not pushing or pulling the guy who has the ball, then that's a football play. Like I'm plowing into you with all my guys. I've got more of them than you, maybe, at this point, this flash point of attack, and then that's football.
It's a highly technical term known as blocking.
Right, but if I'm pushing the guy who has the ball, then that's not blocking. That's pushing. Pushing the tush is what's happening there. And that isn't football, at least in my view.
I mean, it's pretty adjacent to watching Earl Campbell play all of it. And I don't know, maybe he was never pushed, but like the roots of the sport, that's kind of what Ross would say too. I think like since when is football above everybody on three pushing forward? You want to break it down into like where the hands actually are and make it about that. That's kind of what it is. Then it may be more complicated than it's worth. I don't know. 803-0550 is the number for your thoughts. We'll talk to Warren Sharp today, maybe about this, but also about, he's big on schedule analysis and the advantages and disadvantages teams face based on how the schedule comes out. Bills, win totals, all of that. Always a good conversation with one of the top analysts in the game, Warren Sharp. We'll talk to him today, and maybe we'll hear from you next. Lines are open. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.